That was the sound on the Senate floor last night when Arizona Republican Senator John McCain voted, no, you could hear a little gasp there, on the so-called skinny repeal of the Affordable Care Act.
Senator McCain clearly surprised some Republicans who thought they had the votes to pass. Vice President Mike Pence even arrived at the Capitol just in case he had to cast a tie-breaking vote. He didn't. McCain joined two other Republicans, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine, and all the Senate Democrats in voting down the bill. That effectively ends Republicans' efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare. This was the sound outside the Capitol last night when the news broke. Actually, it was about 1:30 this morning.
Well, joining us now, Tamara Keith, NPR White House correspondent. Hi, Tam.
Hi.
And Maria Elena Salinas, news anchor at Univision. Hi, Maria Elena.
Good to talk to you.
And let me start with you, Maria Elena. I mean, what do you think of this defeat? People are describing it as a major defeat for the Trump administration and for Republicans.
Definitely, it's a blow to Trump and Republicans in Congress. But John McCain did the right thing. He put country over party. Once again, he has shown that it's not just about winning for the sake of winning, but, you know, taking into consideration the consequences of the vote. How will it affect the American people? Not just how will it affect my reelection bid? You know, there's a reason why he's called a maverick. So now this will probably force Republicans in Congress to actually work with Democrats to make changes on the health care law, because after all, Democrats also agree that changes need to be made. You know, but as long as both sides want to make this a political win, we won't get anywhere. And the ones most affected will be the American people, those who they represent.
And Tamara Keith, what do we know about why John McCain voted as he voted?
Well, so what we should say is that what the Senate was considering was called the skinny repeal. And so it was not something that basically any senator wanted to become law. It was sort of this Hail Mary, last chance, like we can't agree on what we want, so let's just come up with some sort of vehicle that would get us into a conference committee so that then we could work it out maybe later with the House. But there was a concern among some Republicans, including John McCain, that the House would just take up this so-called skinny repeal and make it the law. You know, if the House approved it, it would be over. There would be no conference committee. There would be no negotiations. And McCain had been raising concerns all along about how this was done behind closed doors in a very partisan fashion. It was done through this process known as reconciliation, which meant that no Democratic votes would be needed. But it also meant that just three Republican votes could kill it. And that is ultimately what ended up happening, though we should say that, you know, don't write the obituary yet, necessarily, that they could still come back and try again.
You know, that's a very logical explanation for it, Tamara. But some may also look at the things that President Trump has said about John McCain and say he's getting his revenge.
Well, and also John McCain, as we all know, has brain cancer,
right.
And doesn't have years and years left. He probably doesn't have to worry about running for re-election. It is reported, though we haven't been able to confirm it ourselves yet, but that John McCain spoke to President Trump last night, and that President Trump reassured him that this skinny repeal wouldn't become the law, but it simply wasn't persuasive, nor was the lobbying of Vice President Mike Pence that happened right on the floor of the Senate last night.
So, Maria Elena, you alluded to this a few minutes ago. Is this the end of the Republican push to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act?
It looks like it is the end, at least for Republicans. You know, this is definitely a political move. And I think that now they have to work together. Now they realize that it's not going to be Obamacare turning into Trump care, that it has to be some kind of health system that really helps the people, that lowers the premiums, like they say it will lower the premiums, but not at the stake of having millions of people be left without health care. And I think this is going to make them stop, pause, and think about this. I mean, what is this law all about? Is it really only about winning for the sake of winning, or should we really dig into it and see what we're doing or what we can do to help? Because let's face it, a lot of the senators said that they were voting without really knowing what they were voting for, or that they didn't even know what this bill included. So I think this is a good pause to just sit back, read it, and figure it out in a bipartisan manner.
All right. Now, I know that the next thing we're going to talk about is two stories ago, but we still need to talk about what just happened with the new White House communications director, Anthony Scaramucci, having this late night conversation with New Yorker writer Ryan Lizza and slamming the White House chief of staff, Reince Priebus, and the chief strategist, Steve Bannon, using offensive descriptors that we won't repeat on
Don't
air.
If
people
it,
haven't
Jeremy.
Seen it yet, right? I mean, you can go and look it up yourself. But Tam, what's going on and how are people in the White House and in Washington reacting to this today?
So the things that Anthony Scaramucci said in that interview are not suitable for work and certainly not suitable for the radio. Remarkable things. And beyond the sort of graphic language, also basically saying the chief of staff is on his way out and you know, I'm going to fire everybody, which is pretty remarkable for a guy who's been on the job 5 days
right.
and isn't actually even officially on the job. But Reince Priebus is the current chief of staff who is on an island. He's like a man on an island and his island keeps getting smaller. And he doesn't have a ton of responsibility at this point. Like, for instance, Anthony Scaramucci, the communications director, reports directly to the president, not to the chief of staff. Typically, a chief of staff in the White House would, you know, bar the door of the Oval Office and control who gets in to see the president.
But is this what it's going to be like from now on with Scaramucci? It's just this kind of drama every day?
Oh my God.
Clear.
Yeah, go ahead, Maria Elena.
Yeah, and if I can just jump in, we have to be careful not to make this the new normal. I mean, there's been several times after Trump goes on a Twitter rant that we say that what he's saying is below the dignity of the presidency. Well, now the level of dignity and decorum has hit an all-time low, and we have to be very careful not to accept this. If Trump says nothing and this continues as if nothing happened, then we turn it into the new normal, and that's completely unacceptable. When I read that yesterday, I thought, you know, this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing for all of us, for the American families. You know, what are our children going to think of the presidency now when they hear him, you know, people in the White House saying this type of thing? But I was also thinking of the media around the world scrambling to try to translate into their own language the things that this man said. And, you know, that is really, really embarrassing.
It also strikes me that I think every radio and TV station in America is going to have to get out the automatic beeper just in case when Anthony Scaramucci is on. So one other thing this week, the president kept his attacks up on the attorney general pretty much daily, Jeff Sessions. Here is the president answering a question about his confidence in Sessions earlier this week.
I told you before, I'm very disappointed with the attorney general, but we will see what happens. Time will tell.
This doesn't seem to be going over well with a lot of Republicans. As we mentioned earlier this week, Sessions is actually actively enacting Donald Trump's agenda in many ways. Can you both weigh in, including Maria Elena, how about you, in terms of the president's attacks on Sessions, how they are reverberating in the Latino community?
Well, you know, it's surprising that even though Trump goes after anyone who disagrees with him or becomes an obstacle for him to get his way, you would think that he would hold back with someone who has been such a close ally. As you know, Jeff Sessions is not a friend of the Latino community. He's probably one of the most anti-immigrant people in Congress. When he was in Alabama, he did it. He always supported SB 1070, which was a law in Arizona that was also very anti-immigrant. So it goes to the extreme right when it comes to the immigration issue. So he's not necessarily a friend of the community. But at the same time, I think everyone is shocked at the lack of civility that there is in this White House. You know, this just proves that there are no sacred cows in the Trump world, except for maybe his family members. You know, even his friends and allies are subject to the wrath if they get in his way. You know, if he's unhappy with his attorney general, why not just fight it out with him if he wants to? But to publicly ridicule him on Twitter, it just makes no sense. It just cements the idea of a dysfunctional administration.
Well, Tamara, what happens now with Jeff Sessions? I mean, has he won this battle by the fact that Donald Trump hasn't fired him?
Jeff Sessions is putting his head down, doing his job, and waiting to be fired if he is fired. He basically is saying, as other people in the administration who've also been sort of on the hit list have said, you know, I'm here to serve as long as the president wants me. So that's sort of his status. And he, you know, he's in he's nowhere near the president today, even though the president is going to New Jersey to talk about, you know, a crackdown on the MS-13 gang, right, which is something that the attorney general should be there for and proud of.
You know, well, ironically, he's in El Salvador. He went to so they're on the same issue, but in completely, you know, they couldn't be more separate. Sessions is in El Salvador dealing with the issue of MS-13, and now Trump going to New Jersey.
Just it avoids an awkward Washington conversation.
Right. Well, Tamara Keith, NPR White House correspondent, and Maria Elena Salinas, news anchor at Univision, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And as Anthony Scaramucci would say, no, never mind. I won't do that. It's here and now.